Welcome to the Danny Carlson Podcast, your resource for growing the business and mindset for a life of unrestricted freedom. Now here's your host, online marketing acrobat, Danny Carlson.
What's up, guys? This is Danny Carlson, and you're listening to the Danny Carlson Podcast. And I have a really unique guest on here. He has a really diverse e-commerce background. He has his hands in a lot of different e-commerce businesses. And over the past weeks during this whole corona outbreak, has just been coming up with really amazing ideas for how to pivot during these times, because he is in the thick of it. He's got a lot of students who are going through crazy stuff. He's got a lot of his own businesses that he's involved in that are going through crazy stuff. So he's come up with a lot of really cool pivots there, but he has a really interesting background of how he got to this point too. He's not the typical business owner, serial entrepreneur guy. He just does not really fit that profile, right? He came from a very different background. So I'm really interested to dive into this during this conversation. So welcome to the podcast, George Bryant. How you doing, man?
Good, man. I'm stoked to be here. Thanks for having me. I love that intro. It's so good. Like, I literally was like, I don't belong in any box, and most people think I'm like the black swan or the outcast. So I love that. Makes me happy.
Heck yeah, man. And maybe that's a good place to start, is like, what is really the lead up to getting to where you are now, right? You started, you're in the army and you got all these tattoos down your arm. Like, how do you get from that point to all these e-commerce brands?
Yeah, man, it's an interesting story. So I was in the Marines for 12 years. So how this really started is I grew up in Massachusetts, and I didn't really have like the best childhood. Lots of abuse, physical abuse, drug abuse, sexual abuse, and it was really dark from a young age. We had social services involved, so I really wanted to get out of there really bad from like a very young age. I didn't want to be there. There was nothing there for me. If I stayed, I knew I'd end up dead. And I didn't want to repeat family patterns, and I think I'm the only successful person in my entire family, and I wanted nothing to do with it, like nothing. I was like, get me out of here. But you know, when you're a 14, 15-year-old kid, there's nowhere to really run to, right? So I just tried to survive. I was homeless for a while, lived with friends, lived on their couches, worked full time. And then I got this bright idea. I was like, well, I'll just join the Marine Corps, because that sounds like a fun thing to do. It's the hardest thing I can find, right? So I went and forged my parents' signature and joined the Marine Corps, and shipped to boot camp July 29th of 2002. And I spent 12 years of my life on active duty in the Marine Corps. So went through a lot, three combat deployments, almost lost both my legs in 2004, 2005. Spent 12 months in a wheelchair, I was bulimic. I was addicted to, you know, prescription pain pills and everything you can imagine. Then went back on full duty, went to Afghanistan, ended up getting 7 concussions in 3 years from combat injuries, and ended up having bleeding on my brain, fluid on my brain. And so in 2011, they were like, hey, listen, you're not fit for military service anymore. You're kind of broken, right? Like, I could barely walk, can't feel my legs from the knee down, bleeding on my brain, fluid on my brain, had really bad post-traumatic stress disorder. I'd lost 28 Marines, and I witnessed 3 suicides, which was pretty horrendous to deal with. And I didn't really know what to do. And so they were like, yeah, you're not in anymore. And I was like, I've been in for 12 years at this point. So it was 2012, I think, 2012, 2013. And I was in for 12 years, but if they kicked me out, there was nothing for me, like nothing. No retirement, no benefits. Like, hey, thanks for 12 years. Like, have a nice life out the door. And that guaranteed paycheck is gone. When I was in Afghanistan, I found paleo as a way to eat. And it was like, I was just trying to train my body. I was CrossFitting. And I started eating paleo, and just eliminating gluten, really. And I started to feel very different, like as a person in my body, my performance and things like that. And I started to realize I had celiac disease that I never knew, wasn't diagnosed. So when I came home, I said, I'm going to start cooking. And I was like, I'm just going to cook every day. I'm going to beat bulimia. I'm going to teach myself how to cook. And I was like, but I need accountability. And I was like, if I'm just doing this by myself, nobody knows. Like, nobody knew I was struggling, nothing. And I was like, oh, I'll just post it on Facebook every day. And like, this is when I just found Facebook, right? It was like 2012. And so I started making a recipe every day when I came home from Afghanistan. I would just post it on Facebook, post it on Facebook, post it on Facebook. Well, after a couple months, people were like, God, I really, you should do this more. Like, you should do this. Like, you should have a blog. I'm like, what the heck's a blog? And somebody sent me to blogger.com. And I was like, what's that? And I figured out how to build like a blog, and I started posting recipes on the blog. And this was like 2011, 2012. Because my med board took about a year, right? So I was still working active duty as a Marine, but I was kind of in purgatory waiting for them to come up with a determination. So I basically self-taught and became a food blogger. out of necessity, like just as something was there. And I'd say about a month or two before they fully kicked me out or retired me or separated me, I'd been doing this for about a year. I'd been posting every day, posting recipes. And I mean, like, I was posting every day, a new blog post every day, responding to every comment. And in about a year, I got to like, you know, 700 people a day who was seeing my blogs. And I had like 1,100 followers on Facebook, right? And someone's like, you should launch an ebook. I'm like, what the hell's an ebook? And they're like, we want all your recipes in one place. And I was like, well, what do I do? They're like, just put them in a Word document. So I made it and I sent it to them. They're like, no, we wanted to pay. I'm like, well, I didn't know. Like, here. It's like, how do I do that? And they're like, upload it to ClickBank. I'm like, what's ClickBank? And I was like, okay. And like, I was so dumb, I uploaded a Word document to ClickBank. I didn't even know how to make a PDF when I did this. And so I uploaded it. And then I was like, how much do I charge? And they're like, $27. And I was like, all right. So I put it up. And then I think my email list at the time, because I had just taught myself email marketing, was like 210 people. I was getting about 700 people a day on my website, about 1,100 people on Facebook. And I put this ebook up and I was like, oh, I should tell everybody. So I just did a post. I was like, hey guys, I put it up. You guys asked for it, $27. It's all the recipes on my website. It's just all in one place, easier for you because that's what you asked for. And the first day I made like $4,000. And I was like, that's more than I made this month as a Marine. Like, what the heck? And I was like, well, that was fun, right? Like vacation time, whatever. And then I didn't think much of it. I went to bed. I woke up the next day and I made like $7,000 the next day. And I was like, wait, this is going up. And I'm like, oh, and I didn't post about it again. More people were finding it. People were sharing it on social media. This was back before algorithms existed. It was all timeline based, right? And yet I feel so old saying that, by the way. I'm like, I was on Facebook.
Back in the day in the timeline before the algorithm would restrict.
I was like, before the algorithm stripped your reach, but I figured out how to beat that one too. But yeah, and so then I was like, okay, day two, I was like, wow, this is like a fluke. I'm like, I've made like $11,000. And I was like, this is nuts. And I was like, oh, it's a fluke. And I was like, all right, well, that was fun. Like, I'll figure out something. And I was like, oh, I bought some time. Like, I don't have to work for like 6 months. I don't have to go get a job. I can do this. And then it got picked up by a few people. And I didn't know on ClickBank, it was like an affiliate marketplace. I didn't know other people could sell your product, right? And so I just set a percentage. I think I was like 40%. And because it sold so much so quick, people picked it up. And the next day when I woke up, I made $21,000 in a day. And I was like, what is going on? And at that point, I was almost matched my yearly salary in 3 days. And I was like, I'm out. Like, whatever this is, I have no idea what this is, but this is where I'm going. And so it ends up turning out like 3 months later, they medically separated me. So I became a civilian again. And at this point, I'd, you know, been blogging for 12 months, 13 months. And I already launched my first product that came out of nowhere. I followed what people asked for. I added value for a year. And then like, we love this. And I gave it to him and like literally every one of them bought it. And then that kind of became the kickstart to me in internet marketing. And it was like, you know, it was a mixture. It trended. It was like 2011 is when I started. Then 2012 is when like I made that money and started really taking it seriously. So I taught myself everything, affiliate marketing, website design, social media marketing, email marketing, product offers, copywriting. Like I obsessed. And I taught myself by doing it all. I didn't take courses. I was like, how can I do this? I asked questions, like I would be on calls. And so I became a full-time food blogger. A guy who didn't cook 2 years prior became a full-time food blogger. And then so that continued. 2014, someone's like, hey, it's awesome that you have this ebook, but we'd love a real book. I'm like, well, what the heck's a real book? Like, how do I do that? I'm like, well, you need a publisher. And I was like, all right. So at the time I was speaking at a paleo conference because I basically went from no one on the internet to 2 years later being one of the biggest paleo blogs in the world, because here's the secret. I was consistent every day. I just showed up every day. I didn't have calls to action. I didn't sell anything. Like I posted valuable content every day. I responded to every comment. And after 2 years, I was getting almost 1 million uniques a month on my website.
Yeah, and that's so amazing, because that's what all of the business influencers will tell you now. But that is what you were just doing. Because he didn't know any better, right? Because he didn't learn all this.
I literally didn't know any better.
Like, I'm going to put people into my funnel, and I'm going to upsell, and I'm going to do this. But you're just putting out content, right?
That's it, man.
Following the advice just by default.
I literally was just like, okay. And I mean, I'm the guy that teaches this now, right? And but I did it by accident. And literally, like, I made a marketing law that I use today that everything you do has to be learning or serving your customers, right? And one of them was, like, not one product I've ever made that's made me money did I ever come up with on my own. I listened and I created based on demand and need once people asked for it after value was given, right? So They're like, you want a cookbook? I was speaking at a paleo conference. There happened to be a publisher there. I walked up and said, I just want to introduce myself. I'm your next published author. You just didn't know it yet. My name's George. And he's like, who the heck are you? And I was like, yeah, I'm just, you know, a guy. Somebody told me I should write a cookbook. You're a publisher. I see cookbooks on your table, whatever. He's like, oh, we start talking. I negotiated a book contract, did the marketing strategy myself, did the book myself, photographed it, did all that stuff, came up with a marketing plan. At this point, I had some decent reach, but my email list was like 12,000 people. I think my social was 25,000 combined between Instagram and Facebook. And I was like, I'm being New York Times bestseller. He's like, no, you're not. I'm like, what do you mean I'm not? He's like, you don't have the numbers. You don't have anything. There's no way. I'm like, all right, well, you told the wrong person that, buddy. And so I spent 9 months planning a marketing strategy because it took about 13 months to write a cookbook. And I launched the cookbook on June 10th of 2014. And I'll never forget June 17th because books launch on Tuesdays and Thursdays. June 17th, you get the times list on the Monday or Tuesday following. And the 17th was the next Tuesday. And he called me. He's like, I can't fucking believe it. You did it. And he's like, you're number like 16 or 17. He's like, I just want you to enjoy it. You're only going to be on the list for 1 week. You know, they fall off pretty quickly. And I was like, oh man, you don't know me. Cool. So then the next week was 11, then 9, then 8, then 6, then 4. And so I ended up staying on the New York Times list for 22 weeks in a row. And I hit number 4 on the list without spending a dollar on paid ads or media or anything, all organic. And I ended up selling like 175,000 copies, which puts me in like the top 0.01% of all cookbooks ever. And so then I did the book. That was it. And then someone's like, you need an app. I'm like, well, how the hell do I make an app? So I went on YouTube, taught myself how to make an app. And then I was like, I am not coding. That's outside of my realm of like what I want to do. So I found an app developer and I was like, hey man, I'll partner with you. I want an app. I'll give you like 33% if you maintain it. He said, okay. We took all the recipes in that ebook from 2.5 years prior and we put them into an app and added shopping lists and, you know, health data, nutrition info. And we launched it as, hey everybody, we know we've already sold this to you, but you asked for it. Now it's on your iPhone. You can have them all. And we launched that app and I got featured by Apple's the top health app of 2015. We hit number one in the world.
And, damn. See, this is where like your work ethic really starts to come in here. I know like just from talking to you, I know how hard you typically work and especially the last little while with this COVID stuff going on. But I'm curious, like, do you think that this hard work ethic and this kind of mentality of like, hey, you just told the wrong guy that he can't be on the New York Times bestseller list. Do you think that that came from all the hardships that you endured throughout the course of your childhood and the Marines and everything like that?
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes from my childhood, right? Like as a child and trauma, like you do one of two things. You either intellectualize your trauma and you're like, I'm not going to end up like this and you go the other way, or you're like, I'm going to be just like this and I'm going to go that way. And I was like, I am not going that way, right? But resiliency and determination were something that was there. Like I just survived at a very young age, like very, very young. And I took that and it was never really healed. I never processed it. So when I joined the military, it was kind of like stacking PTSD on top of PTSD with a new skill set, right? And of course, in the military, like we work our butts off, right? Like, you know, combat deployments and things like that. Like we work 20, 22-hour days, sleep 2 hours a night for 7 months when we're in Afghanistan, right? Like I was literally like, there were days I would pour Tabasco sauce in my eyes to stay awake because we would have to stay awake for days at a time and it was that bad. And so I think all of it combined, you know, gave me a really good work ethic. But I think really one of the keys to my success was my naivety because I didn't have somebody else's container, right? Nobody else told me how to do it. I didn't read a book. I didn't have a business background, a marketing background. All I had were people. Right? I knew nothing about digital marketing. I knew nothing about funnels. I knew nothing about anything. All I knew is that there were people that were responding to what I was doing. And I just kept asking them more and more, like, what do you want? What do you want? Like, how can I support you? How can I support you? And so that work ethic combined with that level of like really not knowing what I was doing and literally having to listen and pay attention, like empathetically to everything that the people on the other side were relating to, like what they were cooking, not cooking, what they wanted, what they didn't want, what worked, what didn't work, was kind of like a cheat code. I got to skip all the bull crap and get right into the people. And they basically helped me craft my business into a multi 7-figure business without ever any business coaching, no marketing classes, no nothing, because I was plugged into what mattered, which was the heartbeat of the customers, the people who are actually supporting the business, paying, doing the work, creating the or consuming the content and putting into practice. And so I definitely think it's a combination of all of it. And, you know, now it's at the point where it's nuts because I work the same 6-7 hours a day as most people, but I can run 8 companies in that time because I'm very like focused and direct, and we focus on what matters and we pull the right levers. Like we don't play fluff. Like you don't see funnels with me. Like my sales pages are Google documents. And I'm like, are you interested? They're like, yeah. I'm like, here, let me send you my Google document. And they're like, are you kidding me? I'm like, I don't need a website for this. Like, that's stupid. A website's here to convince you. I'm not here to convince you. I'm here to help you.
That's the 80-20 of it, right? And I'm really curious to hear your perspective on this because you do teach people marketing and you are in that world. But at the same time, the serendipity of it, the like naivety, the not knowing, I think is really important as well. There was a past podcast guest who he told the story about him. He was about to launch his new app on the App Store and he asked his developers, oh, hey, there's this button, like also launch on iPhone. And back then iPhone was like brand new. It's like his developers were like, no, don't touch that. Like that's not going to work. And he's like, do it. Just like touch it. Cause he didn't know any better. And totally. Lo and behold, it actually did work on iPhone, just like straight out of the box. And he ended up selling $225,000 in a week. Right. Yep. So like that's naivety at work for you right there.
And which you could never do with Android. Cause I learned that lesson the hard way. Right. Like I learned that lesson the hard way. Yeah. I think that there really is like, I tell people all the time, like if there was a clear road to get there, everybody would get there. Right. But the mistake I watch people make is they go to other people to tell them how to pave their road. They can't because they pave their own road. You have to knock down your own mountains. You have to pave your own path. You have to lay the own dirt down. But really like where I credit my work ethic isn't necessarily like how hard I work. I don't like I'm massive about containers. Like family is important to me. Like me time is important to me. Like the first 4 hours of my day are spent in silence. Like nobody, no family, no kids, no interruptions, nothing. And then it's family time. Like I probably like focused work, like probably 4 hours a day. Everything else is fluff, but there's probably like 4 hours a day of like focused work. But really what it is that because of that naivety that I kind of trained myself to be naive and everyone's like, you can do it this way. I'm like, oh, it's probably another way. And I was like, but no matter what, I'll try them all. I just go in really fast. Like it's kind of like the MVP, right? I'm like, if I go in and I know that I have something that can move somebody's life forward, a step, a week, a year, whatever, like just progress a customer forward. I don't need all the bullshit. I just need to talk to them and figure out what is the best way for me to give them that information to help them get there and then pay attention to what works or what doesn't work. And I'm like, if I do that and it doesn't work, I don't go build it and try it again. I'm like, oh, make an adjustment. Okay, that worked. Okay, now let's deepen that, right? And that's kind of how we do everything, even with physical product brands. And I mean, it's the same stuff I do with the big companies that I build. And really what it does is it allows us to be agile, right? Like we get to be fast, we get to be quick, we get to pivot, but we get to be where the work matters, which is where the customers are. Like, how does this work for them? And I watch people spend 18 months in dev and like they'll pour their heart and soul into this product. And I was like, well, how's it feel to spend 18 months and $1 million making a product for you that nobody's going to buy? What do you mean? I was like, when was the last time you talked to a customer? Oh, I haven't. I'm like, yeah, you've been doing this for your ego, not for your customer, right? Like you forget who pays your bills. You forget who buys the products. It's the people on the other side of it, right? And so I kind of reversed it. I spend all my time on the front end. I probably get on like 100 Zoom calls a day. Like anybody I'll get on a call with, anybody, right? I don't care. I don't charge them $1 because it's the best market research I'll ever do. So I was like, I have a marketing problem. Like what's it cost for coaching? I'm like, nothing. When can you get on a call? Like, what do you mean? I'm like, no. And I like ask so many questions. I'm like, okay, now I know where they are struggling. I'm like, oh, they're in the beauty niche. Oh, that's not working. This is working. They need to do this. This isn't done. And then I have this like very clear picture of like industry specific, what works or what doesn't work. Cause I spent time with the people who have the best information, right? It's the same reason I go keynote conferences for free. I don't want to get paid and I don't want to sell anything in the back of the room. I want to spend every moment in as many conversations as possible with as many people as possible. I want to get to know you. I want to hear where you are. If I can help you, I want to help you for sure, right? But really, what do I want? I want to know what the trends are, what's working, what my finger needs to be on the pulse of, what I can create, what I can avoid. Because there's a whole lot of success when you pay attention there, like clues everywhere. And so, you know, I think really focusing on the right things first, which is being with customers and then allowing the path to kind of reveal itself, right? I did this podcast episode of my podcast called Field of Dreams is Bullshit. If you build it, they don't come. And I watch so many people spend days, hours, weeks, months building things. Like, this is what they want. This is what they want. This is what they want. And then they build it and launch it. And they're like crickets, right? And I'm like, yeah, because it only works for Kevin Costner in that movie. You have to go be with them and build it with them or for them so that people are enrolled and in it. And so, yeah, I think that I think naivety is really, really a good way to look at it. And I like the word naivety because just because it works for somebody else or just because that it worked in that particular way, what I always challenge people to is let go of the strategies and tactics, right? Like don't copy the headlines and hooks, but pay attention to the structure, right? Like I watch people see like, oh, this headline converted, right? Like the 7 mistakes every entrepreneur makes when writing emails. And they like go run that headline. I'm like, the headline itself won't work for your audience, but the structure will. I'm like, so what are the 7 mistakes that all realtors make when marketing houses, right? The structure is there, right? And if you remove the tactic and the strategy or the fluff and you look at it foundationally, that's where you start to mimic success, right? And so I'll watch people be like, oh, I'm launching this product and I want to be just like this $100 million company. I was like, yes, but you're pre-revenue and they're in their $100 million state. So you need to go look at what it looked like 3 years ago, not what it looks like today. And then that's where you kind of have to start building from, right? And so I always challenge people when you're looking at anything or planning anything, listen to all the words, listen to the advice, like listen to what people tell you. But then what you really want to listen for is you don't want to listen for the path because nobody can lay the path, but you want to listen for like the structure, right? Like You'll notice like, oh yeah, like that offer works so well. It's this offer. And then you realize, oh, it's not the offer. It's that you have it in a 3-step process. The 3-step process is what creates the container. It doesn't matter what the content is on the inside, right? And so I always challenge people, try to look for almost like you can see the skeleton, right? Like you can see the blueprint, you can see the framing, and you look at what it's there. And when you can see the foundation or the framing, well, then you can fill in whatever content you want. So that's why I'm like, take the advice, but then take the advice and come up with your own plan and just use that same structure kind of moving forward. So that's kind of how I look at it. So that's a long-winded answer. Do you think the tenacity? Yeah. I think it's a mixture
really
of the work.
I really want to dive into something that you said there, which is I know how much time you spend on these calls and reaching out. That's how we met, actually. Mm-hmm. We're speaking at the same event and then just DM'd me just asking any ways you could help, just hopping on a call and offering the help. And it was a sincere just call, like asking questions and like seeing how you could help. And I think you introduced me to a few people that I wanted to be introduced to. I was looking for help at the time. And I find that so powerful, especially now in the world where the economy is just changing so quickly with all this COVID stuff going on. That was one of the first things that I did when the whole COVID madness hit, was just send a blast to my entire email list being like, hey, my calendar is open for you guys. I'm literally just here to help. And that has helped us pivot so much faster. Because after I got on about 10 calls, I knew exactly what our clients and what our target audience, like all of their problems that they were dealing with. And then after 10 calls or so, you start to see the patterns and you start to see the ways that you can pivot what you're doing to really match what they're doing. And like in the past, I would be doing what you were saying earlier. I would come up with a full offer and then just like put it out there. And then, you know, sometimes it'd be crickets, sometimes it'd work, but sometimes it wouldn't, right? So I really want to echo that approach there. And I'm wondering, for people who have not been doing this strategy, what is like kind of an actionable way that they can do this? Like, let's say they don't have the big marketing list of all their audience and their customers and stuff like that. Should they be DMing people or how should they do
it? Yeah, no, it's a great question. I actually am teaching this in a new course that I just sold to everybody that they asked me to build. Shocking, right? I was like, okay, I'm not selling anything during this. I just want to support people, right? And you saw me. I was going live like 4 times a day, like doing this. And I was like, you guys want to get on a coaching call? And I literally put 80 people on Zoom. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, what do you guys? They're like, we want you to put this in a course. I'm like, why? I'm giving it free. Like, no, we want to pay you. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? I'm like, no. I'm like, okay. And I was like, I'm not going to make money during this. And then they're like, we'll pay. Right. So in it, what I talk about is I call it ethical pirating. I call it the spyglass. Right. So you have, when you think about connecting with people, you have customers, you have content, and you have competitors, right? Those are the 3 buckets that I put my research into, right? So with customers, it's the most important one. And with customers, you want to basically find where your ideal customers are. So let's say you have an offer of like you have an at-home workout program, right? Well, you might not have a marketing list. You might not have an email list. You might not have a social media following, right? But thousands of other influencers do who neglect their audience every single day. Right. And so you go find them, you go read their comments, you read their reviews, you go to their books on Amazon, you read the questions, you read the reviews. And what you're looking for is what works and what doesn't work. Right. and you're just starting to kind of pay attention. And then what my favorite thing to do is to insert myself into the conversations, not to be like, oh, come check out my offer, but like to genuinely serve people, right? So like, if you have a profile and you launch this offer and you follow this other fitness person who has 8.6 million followers and never responds to the comments and people are asking questions, well, where do you think I'm going to go start answering questions? Not to be like, oh, come check out my profile, but like to genuinely answer the question. Like, oh, you know, like, great question. I struggle with that too. I figured it out. Here's exactly what I did. You know, let me know if you need any more help, right? Boom, 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 boom. You do that 10 times a day. You get ready, because you're not going to be able to handle the amount of influx that comes to you, right? So from that side, what I'm looking for is to try to establish relationships, Facebook groups, forums, other websites, other social channels, right? And all I'm trying to do is garner the attention with a valuable conversation of people that are like my ideal avatar. And then the moment I have a relationship with them, I try to get on a Zoom call or I try to get on a phone call, right? And I was like, I'm always asking the same questions. Like, nice to meet you. Like, where are you right now, basically, right? And where do you want to go? And what's getting in your way? And what would support look like for you? And in your ideal world, what would you do? And how much time would you spend? And I'm asking questions very intentionally to try to figure out what it is. And I'm like, okay, cool. I was like, I have a question. I was like, I heard you. If I put something together like this for you, would you be okay if I gave it to you free of charge, just in exchange for your feedback? Like, just for you to tell me if it works, what doesn't work, what I can do. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, if it works, will you give me a testimonial? Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, there's my first 10 beta members, right? Like, handled. Mm. And so I do that, right? And so I try to get in relationship with as many people as I can. And so, you know, you can go, you know, when we think about traffic, right? There's three types of traffic: owned traffic, earned traffic, paid traffic, right? I don't play with paid until I've like really done all my diligence on like the other side, right? And so owned is yours. And if you don't have anything yet, well, you have to go to earned, right? So then the other option here is, let's say you're an expert in something and you don't have an audience. You find people that have an audience that resonates with your message that is not in competition to their offering. And then you insert yourself into the conversation of service, right? And so, like, I don't run an Amazon PPC agency, and I never will, and I never care to, right? But if I'm like, hey, Danny, listen, I have this thing where it will help anybody grow their Amazon. I don't want to run their stuff. Can I share it with your audience? He's like, hell yeah. I'm like, I'm just going to tell everybody to hire you. He's like, cool, right? Like, game over. But then what I get is I get brand awareness. I get social awareness. I get social triggers. Everyone's like, God, this guy really knows what he's talking about, right? And they're going to pay Danny for the Amazon management side, but then they're going to be like, I want to learn more about marketing, messaging, or congruency, right? And so that's where kind of like rising tides lift all boats. So that's the second place I insert myself, is I try to find somebody. It's like, listen, you have an audience. Do you think this would resonate with them? No offer. I don't want to sell anything. Would you be open if I came to give this away for free and serve them? And then I literally put together this beta program, you know, I just run it by your audience. So I go do things like that. So that's like the customer side, right? So I try to put myself everywhere the customers are. I find them, I ask them questions, I'm being in a relationship, you can DM them, you can do whatever. Then on the content side, right, this is what we call content insight, right, is that now you have the customer side, right? So you've connected with them, but you also have the content side where everybody else is making content that they're already resonating with, right? Like, you can look on social on a hashtag and you can see what's getting engagement, what questions people are asking, right? So this is where I dive into the reviews of like, okay, let's go find a book on at-home workouts, because that's what we're launching, right? And I was like, I go to the book and I go find 100 books on at-home workouts and I go read every review on everything that's missing. And I make a list of everything that's missing, right? Like, I loved it, but I wish you had this. I needed images for this. I wish you gave me a printable for my refrigerator. I wish you made it so I could pick different workouts. I wish you had levels like extreme, intermediate, and beginner. Then I take all of that and I'm like, okay, so I have these people. This is what they told me they wanted at at-home workout. I went and found everything that's working and not working, right? I'll download a few of them. It's like, well, if that's what's not working, then this is working. Then I outline it and then I take everything that's there and I make it better than anything exists. And then I give it to these people for free right here. I just give it to them. And I'm like, give me feedback, give me testimonials, whatever. And then on the competitor side, that's when I go to theirs. I go to all my competitors and I start looking at like, what's their audience responding to? Are they engaging with comments? Are they not engaging with comments? What headlines are they using? What hooks are they using? What titles are they using? Then I look at the structure and I'm like, well, I've read all their products. Mine's 100 times better. even my headlines better. I take the structure, I change it. And now I literally have an entire ecosystem that puts all my competitors out of business because I did it in the right way, in the right order. So that would be probably the most detailed answer I've ever given anybody that question publicly to, like, that's exactly what I do. Those are the buckets in which I do it. And when you do that, the path gets really, really clear, really fast. And then your only job is to be in relationship with people to get them into one of those buckets, right? Into a lead magnet that leads to the paid offer, or into conversation in a group where everybody's doing the same thing, as you start to identify like what the price point should be and what the offer should be. And my favorite thing to do, I do this every time, is I launch this course, literally 80 people on Zoom. I'm like, all right, so what you guys are telling me, and I basically wrote an outline on the call, right? And I was like, okay, so it came out to 9 videos. That's what they wanted, 9 videos. I was like, all right, so these are the 9 videos. I was like, this, everybody agree, right? They're probably 20 minutes a piece, right? Very clear from, I've never had an offer all the way up to about 10 million a year on like full everything, messaging, research, funnels, emails, lead magnet offer, all of it's included. And I said, all right, so now I need one of you to tell me, what would you pay for this? Literally, I just throw it on the table. And I was like, the first person that says is the price. And someone's like, $500. I said, great. I said, are all of you good paying $500? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, how will you pay? Will you pay right now? Like, yeah. I'm like, we'll send you an invoice tomorrow and I'll start building it. Right. And so then they agreed to pay $500 for 9 videos. Right. So then I got off the call and I went the next morning. I was like, all right, before I start recording, I'm going to outline everything. And I didn't like the outline. So I rewrote it. And I was like, oh, it's missing this. It's missing this. It went from 9 videos to 41 videos in about 6 hours. And so we'd already charged them all. And I just sent them all a video. I said, hey, listen, are you okay if instead of 9 videos, you get 41 videos with a clear path and you can pick and choose? And everyone's like, can we pay you more? I'm like, nope, nope. Just do me a favor, invite some of your friends, let them know I'm doing it. And I did it in one video live in the group. And then people started tagging, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. And I haven't even made it yet, right? And so when you build it with people and you make them a part of it and you really serve them and solve a problem, like, it's probably a $5,000 course in full transparency, but I don't give a crap. Like, I just want to help people. So like, let's go. And that covers my team's time to do it. Well, my time and 41 hours of video content, but whatever. And I want them to have it. But really, when people are a part of it and you understand their language, all the decisions have been made. No funnel needs to happen because all of the work was done before they even got there, right? Like, they were met, they were seen, they were understood. They're like, that's my problem. I have a very clear path to where I want to go. This is exactly how I'm going to get there. Okay, I'm ready, right? And so it's kind of like a cheat code. It feels like I have the cheat codes in Nintendo every time I do this. And it's like, I don't know why everybody's complicated. And then we have this offer. Then we have 100 testimonials, 100 case studies. And it's like, oh, I want to launch ads. Well, where do I send them? Well, I launch a top of funnel ad with a customer talking through the process and the testimonial. And then I just send them to the same video that everybody else watched in the Facebook group. And it kind of handles itself. No top, bottom, middle of funnel, no crazy retargeting, no upsells, downsells, like, nope, just straight in because all the work has been done. And so that's kind of how I would answer that question.
Oh, that's gold, man. That was worth the value of the podcast right there. And I have one final question for you. We're coming up to the end of our time, but for someone like you who is constantly hopping on the phone with people, trying new digital marketing tactics, you got your finger on the pulse of this pretty good. I would love to hear what you think the future of digital marketing is in 2020, the remainder of going through this crazy COVID outbreak and all the big changes that are happening. Like, where do you see the big shifts happening in digital marketing?
I love that question. It's such a good question. And I'm just gonna make this easy for everybody right now. I've experienced a lot of trauma in my life. And really what trauma comes from is feeling like things happen to you, right? It's when human agency is eliminated, right? Well, an entire world just had human agency eliminated, right? Like, the ability to free choose and to free will is taken away. Now, they haven't experienced trauma, but they've experienced levels of the same trauma. So yes, in 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever, things might be opened up again. But when you nail a nail in a fence and you pull the nail out, the hole is still there. The emotional toll and the difference in human behavior is going to be around for 12 months minimum when this is done. So what I've told everybody is that in today's day and age, right, digital marketing is amazing because it's a fast track button to communication. Like, this is easy. We can all be communicated. Like, we can't touch, but we're on Zoom, we're on videos, we're here, right? People crave connections. Podcast listenership is up 40%. The average person is spending 8 to 12 times more amount of time consuming content every day, right? But what they're not looking for is hacks and strategies and money. What they're looking for is safety, security, and certainty. And so the future of digital marketing in 2020 and beyond is establishing the new norm that transactions are not going to be allowed anymore. That funnels with upsells and downsells with no humans are not going to work anymore because it doesn't hit on the core of what the human needs are, right? So if you take Maslow's hierarchy of needs and you put it in a traumatic situation, what do people want right now? They want safety, security, and certainty. And before all this, it would take 50 to 100 touch points to convert a cold customer into a product. Now you're looking at 150, 200, and the buying cycle is going to be 2 to 3 times longer because people now aren't net neutral. Like, oh, I trust myself. I want this. They're looking at, do I need this? Do I want this? Like, does this help me? Like, am I ready for this? Like, the lens is very skeptical. So the only three things that anybody should be focused on in every ounce of your business, your team, yourself, your customers is safety, security, and certainty. And like, I'm going to tell you right now, I'll pin this, that those buzzwords are going to be the highest converting words that you're ever going to see for like the next year, right? You can eliminate, you know, here's the 7 best hacks to double your email marketing in 10 minutes to here's the 7 best hacks to create certainty in your business with email. And I guarantee you it works. And It's just those subtle tweaks of understanding emotionally where humans are and knowing that they're not net neutral anymore, they're net negative. So our customer journeys are going to get longer. Our consistency and congruency on social media is going to have a bigger lens on it. We're going to have to be more omnipresent than we were before. We're going to have to show up more than we did before. We're going to have to over-deliver 2 to 3 times what we promised before because the base state of the human is net negative, not like positive, right? So when I look at that, it's great because I've been teaching students this for 6 years now and I love it because this is what we do every day. But relationships are the only thing that's going to move the needle. That's it. People aren't going to buy you because you have the best product. They're going to buy because you have the best safety net for them. They feel secure. They feel safe. They feel certain. They feel taken care of. So they'll be willing to give you your credit card. They'll buy your product based on the relationship with you. They'll buy your service based on the relationship with you. Like, how is it going to feel when things hit the fan, Danny? You're going to fire me because I need 2 weeks to hit payroll? And you're like, no, I told you in the beginning. They'll stay. And then they'll tell all their friends about it. It's those things that are going to move the needle for 2020 and beyond. And I think it's going to establish a new norm to where, you know, drop shippers and faceless brands and I can, you know, hack these and haggle prices and do all that. There'll be a market for it, but it's not going to be anywhere near as big as it was. And the only market that's going to be here is human relationships.
Yeah, I think that's always been good advice, but it's like particularly pertinent advice right now. So thank you so much for that, George. And this has been incredibly valuable. It definitely went some very interesting places. And I know that you and I could smash on in this stuff for a couple more hours easily. Very fascinating stuff. But if people wanted to reach out to you online or learn more about what you do, where's the best place for them to do that?
Yeah, I make it really easy because you're listening to this or watching this, mindofgeorge.com. mindofgeorge.com. Right now, it'll either go to my Facebook group or my podcast page, and it'll have a link to my Facebook group. All this stuff we teach you for free in our Facebook group and beyond. And so if my team and I can do anything to support you, just go to mindofgeorge.com, you know, pop into our free marketing mini course or listen to the podcast or come into the Facebook group and ask my team and I any questions, and we'll do anything in our power to support you.
Awesome. Well, it certainly has been a pleasure diving into the mind of George today on this podcast episode. So thanks so much, man. And if you're looking for those resources, you can find any of those also at the show notes as dannycarlson.co/podcast. And if you guys haven't already, go leave a review over on iTunes, on Stitcher. You can go easily to ratethispodcast.com/Dan. It's going to easily just open up whatever app you have or you're listening to on this podcast and make it really easy to leave that review. So really appreciate it, guys. And until next time, go out there and kick some ass.
Thanks for joining us on the Danny Carlson Podcast. For resources mentioned in this episode, visit dannycarlson.co.